Gospel meeting by singing number 6. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. Shall we stand and sing number 6? Shall we pray together? I'm going to sing another hymn. Let's remain seated. Number 14. Well known, have you been to Jesus with a cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Some brother would start it. Number 14.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Thank you.
Turn to the book of the Psalms. Psalm 14. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not. Well, this is, dear friends, a sweeping statement. It's God's holy word that we have in our hands tonight. It's not some human opinion. It's the word of the living God, who searches every heart in this room tonight. And all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Dear friend, tonight, the outset of our gospel meeting, we want to remind you that you are accountable to God. It says in Romans chapter 14 that every man shall give an account of himself to God. You have an appointment with your Creator, which you cannot cancel. An appointment with God, the one to whom you and I are responsible tonight. And God looks down into this room here. He searches every heart in this room. The Lord Jesus walked into this gymnasium. I wouldn't have to introduce him to anyone. Because he knows you, your background, your history. He declares unto man what his thought is, and the God in whose hands your breath is, you have not glorified. Here we have the plain teaching of God's word, this indictment here, that the world is guilty before God. They've all been brought into the courtroom. And the verdict unanimously is guilty before God. Now you may be a respectable person before your neighbor. They may look upon you as a exemplary citizen of your community. But God seeth not as man seeth. He looks on the heart. Do you know what God says about your heart and my heart in the book of Jeremiah? He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows the heart. But dear friends, tonight, just going to dwell a little on this first aspect of the gospel, because as I've often told patients as I visit them, God tells you the ruin, He tells you the disease, but then He provides the remedy. And that's what the gospel is. It's God's remedy for your lost condition. God has provided a Savior for you tonight. But as we look out in the world today and we see the corruption and we see the violence like it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, it's fast becoming very similar. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We have legislated immorality now all around us. But dear friends, although God knows your heart, and He knows my heart, He loves you. He desires your blessing tonight. We want to make this plain from the beginning of our message, that God is not against you. If you're sitting in this room in your sins, unsaved, God is for you. He wants to bless you tonight. Satan is your enemy. He wants to rob you. But God has a deep interest. Dear friend, tonight, boy or girl, He has a deep interest in your blessing, in your salvation. I've been reading recently the story of a man whose name was James Macaulay. Some of you might know that he was the founder of the Water Street Mission in New York. And that has been used of God to reclaim, I was going to say, thousands of lives. Probably still is active. Drunkards, castaways, the dregs of society have been brought to Christ through that mission in New York City. Jerry Macaulay himself was one of those. Sentenced for 19 years, no, at the age of 19, sentenced for 16 years for highway robbery in the Sing Sing prison. That was the saddest day of his life, when he heard those doors clang behind him. He had no use for the Bible, whatever. But one day, one night, there was a man that came to preach the gospel in the prison chapel, I suppose. And his name was Terrible Gardner. He had been a companion of Jerry Macaulay. They were companions in crime and drunkenness. But you know, there was a mighty change in Gardner. As he stood there with a face that was beaming and with tears running down his face and told how the grace of God had saved him from the miry clay and the pit of hell he was in. And he went down and pled with those prisoners to accept Christ. Jerry Macaulay, for the first time, he thought seriously about eternal things. He went back to his cell, and there the Spirit of God began to work in his soul. And he looked up, and there at the ventilator, there was a book. And he reached up and he took that book down from the ventilator there, covered with dust, blew it off. It was a Bible. A few weeks ago, he would have torn it to pieces. But now, he had an interest in eternal things. He realized his awful condition, and he began to read the scriptures from Genesis right through. He became enamored. He became occupied with God's word to such an extent that he didn't want to eat. He loved the word of God. It seemed that he couldn't get enough. And he read on and on, day after day, until he came to the story of the Lord's crucifixion and his sufferings. It touched his heart. And he felt, I'm a needy sinner. And it was my sins that caused the Lord those sufferings. And before long, the burden was lifted when he saw that he was one of the whosoevers. And there in Sing Sing prison, Jerry McCauley bowed the knee to Christ and believed in his death for him. He was gloriously converted. His sentence was remitted by 5 or 6 years, I believe. And he got out. And he spent the rest of his life seeking the lost, opening the mission for those that were down and out and slaves of the enemy, as he was. Well, dear friend, the grace of God saved Jerry McCauley and saved you. It saved me. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. God is tonight looking down upon this world. He sees the sinfulness. He sees your heart tonight. He knows every act in your life. And he knows what you're thinking about at this moment. Oh, if you would only realize the love of God that is reaching out to you where you are, the compassion of God for sinners. Reverently speaking, the Lord Jesus didn't have to die in order for God to love you. That was his nature in a past eternity. The plan of salvation was conceived in the heart of God before you were born. He knew the ruin would come in. He knew about the disease that would plague men and women. And he had the remedy ready long before it made its appearance in the Garden of Eden. Tonight, dear friend, that remedy, we want you to know, is offered freely from the heart of God, without money and without price. Today is the day of salvation. I've just come back from visiting a few weeks in the West Indies, down through Trinidad and some of the other islands down there. It's been an encouraging visit to penetrate into many schools, hospitals. You know, I met many people down there who had narrowly escaped death. I could name a number of patients that I had the privilege of standing by their bedside there. Some of them had been attacked by a cutlass. Some of them had been shot with bullets. And I said to those men, some women there too, that God has been merciful to you. He has spoken to you. You can be thankful that you're still in the land of the living, and that you still have another opportunity. You could have been in eternity. Yes, they had to admit that. One lady, she had tried to take her own life. But God, it speaks through these circumstances because of his love for you, because of his compassion. He can make you happy, but he doesn't want to make you happy in your sins. He wants to save you from those filthy sins we have been reading about here that have blotted your life and ruined your life. God has a way of putting those sins away so that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. The death and judgment are behind you and not before you. As I was down there, I visited the poorhouse. I think probably some others have visited the poorhouse. It's a rather depressing place. Some of the inmates in that place are very handicapped, lame and blind and mentally unstable, crawling around. Not the cleanest place to visit. But you know, I had a lovely afternoon there preaching the gospel in the different wards. And we met quite a number of lovely Christians in that institution there. And it was a joy to share the word of God. What a difference there was in their countenance. Reminds me of Amos. Amos, he was a man that lived in St. Vincent, but he had no use for the gospel. He was handicapped, lame, only able to crawl around. Do you know where he lived? He lived almost next door to the meeting room. Amos did, yes. And he would scratch out a living there by pulling the grass and so on, make a few pennies. But you know, Amos was a hard character. I've seen him there beside the Brighton meeting room again and again. You could hardly get a tract into his hand. He would just as soon throw it back in your face and mock at the gospel. He could hear the message there within 10 feet of where he lived. Again and again, you couldn't get him to come into the hall. And finally, Amos ended up at that poorhouse that I had visited. He didn't have any money. And that was his destiny, the poorhouse. So they looked after him there until he passed away. But you know, the sad thing is, Amos died, as far as we know, the way he lived. Did he have opportunities? Again and again, he could hear the gospel being sounded forth in the Sunday school just a stone's throw from his little hut there. They said when he passed away, Amos is dead. Even the nurses didn't seem to have much hope for poor Amos. Dead, he was dead spiritually, and he was then dead physically. But dear friends, God is able to meet men like that. God could have saved Amos. And he can save you. You say, I'm not that sort of a person. I'm not like Jerry McCauley that you have been speaking about. That may be the case. But you are a sinner by nature, and you're a sinner by practice. And you're under the judgment of God. If you sit in this meeting room here tonight without Christ, there's danger ahead. God would warn you solemnly of going on in your sins without Christ. He warns you because he loves you. He wants you to escape that judgment that is even now hanging over your head. There's only one way of escape. Dear friend, tonight, do you realize your condition before God? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's invitation is going forth to you tonight, right where you are. You know, in those West Indian islands, there's a volcano there. It's dormant now, but we probably have all heard of it. It's not on the island of St. Vincent, although there is a volcano there too that has erupted. But this one is on the island of Martinique, Mount Pelee, and in 1902, that mountain erupted, exploded, and within 24 hours, 30,000 people in the city of St. Pierre were ushered into eternity. But there were warnings. They could look up and they could see the barometer indicated there was a problem. And Captain Marina, who was on the Italian ship there, loading sugar, he says, I'm going to get out of here. He says, I can see. His trained eye knew that there was danger. And he said, if Mount Vesuvius looked like this in Italy, I wouldn't stay around. Well, they were going to arrest him because he only had half the load on his ship. But he weighed anchor and he made off. And although they said, oh, the volcano will be all right when it relieves itself a little, it'll be a safer place than ever here, the editorials were proclaiming. Within 24 hours, 30,000 people were ushered into eternity in that island. God gives warnings. But remember, dear friend, he's looking down upon you tonight, upon this world. Nothing escapes his notice. We tell the children that God has books. Yes, he has books up there, and your name is on that book. You're still unsaved. Your book someday will be opened, and there your life will be revealed to you. Oh, you say, I've forgotten much of what I have done. God has everything recorded. If you die without the Lord Jesus in your sins, the books are going to be open. Your book is there. And there is a record of every sin that you have committed. And the debit will be long. It was for me. But thank God, the Lord Jesus, through his work, has canceled the debit side. My debit side was very long. And others would say the same here tonight. But he's adding on to the credit side. That's a little word for those who are saved. Every thought that you had of the Lord today, fellow believer, is recorded in the annals of eternity and will be rewarded. Every little act that you do for the Lord, for a saint of God, has been put down there. It may look very insignificant in the eyes of men, but God seeth not as man seeth. But the point is, if you're unsaved, that record is there. And there's only one thing that can cancel it. The precious blood of Christ. Are you still lingering outside mercy's gate tonight? Are you halting between two opinions? You know, if we had a meeting here about something financial, I suppose people would be interested. We had a political meeting, most of the community would be in here, I suppose. But we're speaking of something that is of far more importance than anything that can concern your material life down here. We're speaking of your soul, its eternal destiny. And the fact that God is holy, that God will punish sin. God's thoughts about sin have not changed. In year 2000, from the year A.D. 30. God's thoughts about sin have not changed. He hates sin. He will not tolerate it in his presence. He must punish it. He will not compromise. Dear friend, God has a way of putting away that sin from his holy sight tonight. If you are willing to close in with his wondrous offer of mercy. Let us look now. We find here God looking down. We're just going to look at a few more scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse well known to us. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.